This morning we're going to finish a series that we started some time ago. From the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Dale and I were visiting this week and we were talking about where we're going next. And if you're wondering, 2 weeks from today we'll be starting next in the book of Exodus. But Dale asked me the question when we were sitting and visiting. He said, when did you start this series through the book of 1 Corinthians? I said, I don't know, early spring, April, March, something like that. And he said, well, I've got it written down back here. He turned it over and he said, how about January 15th? 6th, the first Sunday in January. And I didn't realize I'd been in the book of 1 Corinthians this entire time. But time flies when you're having fun, right? For this preacher anyway. And I've had fun going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I invite your attention to the final message from this book in this series. Today we're going to talk about the future from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. As we talk about the future, would you stand as we read from the precious Word of God? Verse 5, Paul's writing there. He says, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now, but on the way, or now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Wade, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I call to your attention this morning that we are at a point of new beginnings. Okay? Even though we're, I guess, in the last quarter of the year, coming up on September, we're at a point of new beginnings. For example, school started this last week. Now, if there aren't some parents who can amen that, y'all got trouble. Okay? School started this last week. Oh my goodness. We'll never get out of here today. Y'all know how I am. I need encouragement. Okay. School started last week. Amen. There we go. New school year for the children. And how exciting is that? And college. Tech starts this week. Amen. Some of the college students may not be as excited as we are. Boy, I look forward. It's great to see many of them back today. I look forward to getting those guys back. I love them so much. And seeing them start a new school year, it's exciting for me. And even in a church, Awana kicks off this Wednesday night. Awesome. Awana workers, are you ready to go? Hey, that sounds pretty strong. Good. A time of new beginnings. Fall. New things are happening. You know what's really exciting? Football season starts. I knew I'd get some big deep amens on that one. Oh, I like football season. Things are starting new. But have you thought about the future? What's next week? 2 weeks from now? A month from now? 2 months from now? What does that look like? Where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing in the future? Have you made your plans? If you're like most people, a lot of you, your calendar is either filling up fast or it's already full. That's all right, making plans. But before you make your plans, I want to challenge you this morning to establish your objective. And that's what Paul was doing here. As a matter of fact, he was making plans. He was making the plan, filling out his calendar here as he closes the book of 1 Corinthians. He's looking at his calendar. He's laying out the future. And I want you to notice Paul's not being selfish about anything. He's not saying, I'm going to do this and I want to retire and I want to enjoy some time off. There's nothing about Paul's statements here that are selfish. He's laying out his plans. He says, I'm passing through Macedonia right now, and I don't want to come see you right now, but when I pass back through, that's when I want to come see you. I want to wait until then so I can spend some time with you, an extended amount of time. Paul's purpose was to go to Corinth and to teach those folks at Corinth and be a blessing and a benefit to them, have an extended visit and share things that would be for their benefit. Paul's future plan was all about being a blessing to other people. And I want to challenge you. I don't know what your future is. I know if you have school-age children, your future gets really busy in a hurry once they go back to school. And that's all fine. Fill out your calendar, make your plans. But here's what you need to know about your plans. They don't always work out. Have you ever noticed that? I don't remember what it was. It's a short time ago, Beth and I were talking. I said, you know, we need to plan on. Beth looked at me and said, I'm not even going to plan on it because it won't work out if I plan on it. If we get there and it happens, then wonderful. But she has learned over time that don't put too much emphasis on the plans. Because even with our plans, no matter how good they are, there's always a question. And notice the way Paul words what he's sharing there. He said, it may be that I will remain or spend the winter there. That you may send me wherever I go. He said, I hope to stay a while with you. Or if the Lord permits. You see the uncertainty in Paul's planning? He knew what he wanted to do, but he didn't know exactly what the master plan was. And so everything he's telling the church here, he's kind of qualifying it. He's making his plans, but he's tentative. He knows he's going to have to be flexible. And that's how plans are, right? But I want to challenge you at this point, okay? No matter where the plans are, you have to remember the objective, okay? That's what Paul did. And Paul's objective was that no matter where he was and no matter what plans worked, no matter what plans didn't work, Paul's objective was to preach the gospel, period. To be a minister to the Gentiles, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul's objective in life was to make sure that Jesus was proclaimed everywhere he went. That was the objective. What a good objective, huh? What a great objective. He was so tied to that objective. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 1, he talks about those who were preaching the gospel intending to add suffering upon him. He also talked about those who had been encouraged through his ministry and were preaching the gospel. And you know, in Philippians chapter 1 verse 18, he asked the question, he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. And my challenge to you today is this. Go ahead, make your plans. Go ahead and set the course for your future. But be ready, because many of those plans will not work out. And what my challenge to you is that no matter where you find yourself, you're going to be fulfilling God's call upon your life. That's the important part. It's not that your calendar works out step 1, 2, and 3. What I'm asking you to do, college students, what I'm asking you to do, high school students and elementary students and adults, what I'm asking you to do is establish one fact in your life right here, right now, today. And that is that in all things you pray, in all things you study the precious Word of God, and in all things you seek the Lord. And then, no matter what is going on, and no matter where you find yourself, and no matter what circumstance or challenge you find yourself in, that you will be found fulfilling God's call. Period. Establish the fact. See, that's the problem. What we often do is we make these plans. And woe is me, my plans didn't work out. Well, duh, they usually don't. That's nothing new. But I want to tell you what can always work out. You can always work out.
you serving the Lord right where you find yourself. You realize that where you are is no accident. If you're a college student, do you realize the classes that you take are no accident? The students that are in the classes with you are no accident. Do you realize that God is in control and He's placed you where you needed to be so that you could fulfill His call upon your life? Don't get too bogged down in the details. You keep your objective in sight. Establish the fact of your objective. And once you establish that, then you're ready for the opportunity. The thing about setting your objective, you very quickly find out that God opens doors of opportunity. Paul said, I will tarry in Ephesus. And when he said that, I want you to understand that word tarry doesn't mean like we might think it to mean. Literally in the Greek, it means to persist or persevere. Paul was not just hanging out at Ephesus. He was holding on at Ephesus. He was fighting the enemies. He spent about 3 years in Ephesus. And the reason that he would stay, he said, a great and effective door has been opened to me. A great and effective door has been opened to me. That word great, the Greek word's mega. I like that word, don't you? You know, it's where we get mega. Big, large. Paul saying, God has opened this huge door in front of me, and it is a great opportunity to make a profound difference in the lives of the folks at Ephesus. And Paul's going to make a difference. You see, at the end of that ministry, what happens? He teaches at the synagogue for about 3 months, and they get tired of him, and he has to leave there. But then he moves to the school of Tyrannus, which... He preaches there for a couple of years. And when he gets done in Ephesus, you know what's written? Acts chapter 19 verse 10 says about his ministry at Ephesus. It said, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. What a door. Imagine that. What a door. Now I asked you the question. And remind you, you've got to maintain your objective. Your objective is to share Jesus with people. Your objective is to share the love of Christ with people. Your objective is to make a profound difference. God opens the door so that you can make a profound difference. Now, where are you in that objective? The people in your class, students, do they know Jesus a little better because of you? Adults, the people that you work with, do they know Jesus a little better because of the example that you set? You see, God opens doors for all of us. Okay? He's the great door opener. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he's writing to the church at Philadelphia. He says, and to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, write these things, says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, and I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. God did not go out of the door opening business with the church at Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. Okay? Victory Missionary Baptist Church is in Russellville, Arkansas because God opened a door. I'm the pastor of this church because God opened a door. My brother Michael is our associate pastor because God opened a door. Dale is our music minister because God opened a door. And you are where you are because God has opened a door. Keep in mind your objective. Remember, God's placed you where you are for a reason. And notice what Paul says. He said, God has opened to me the door. And see, here's where we get confused. We think an open door means somebody should go in. An open door doesn't mean somebody should go in. An open door means you should go in. Okay? Paul said, it's been open to me.
He didn't say, Paul didn't say, this was Peter's open door, it's John's open door, it's some of the other apostles' open door. Paul said, this door has been opened to me. How would it have been if Paul said, you know, God has opened this door at Ephesus, but I think I'll wait for Peter to come around here and take care of these guys. I'm going to Corinth because I know I can do some good there too. You say, how selfish would that be? Listen. Time and time again in life, when our plans go south and it don't always work out like we want it to work out, you know, all we can think is, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, get me out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, I can't stand this. Oh, but listen, God has opened a door and it's your door. It's your door. Therefore, the challenge is this, for you to make the most of every opportunity or every open door that God has placed in your life. I like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Get this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know what that word redeeming means? That word literally means to make the most of. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You get that? That's the big statement at this part of the message. Don't waste your time. Make a difference where you are. God has put you there. God has opened the door. God has placed the people in your lives that are in your lives. It may be your children. It may be extended family. It may be where you work. It may be in this church. But make the most. Redeem the time. And the reason you have to take it so seriously is you don't know when the door is going to close. A door opens and doors close. If you remember Revelation, God said, I open and no man closed. I close and no man opens. How many of you can look back in time and with regret? I blew it. I look back in time of and think of people that I could have told about Jesus that I didn't. When I was in college, when I was in high school, when I was, you know, even when I was in seminary. A lot of my life I didn't live very deliberate. Just kind of rolling along and blowing here and there with whatever wind was blowing at that time. And now, doctrinally speaking, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm just kind of take life as it comes and go on. And so often I didn't set out to make a real profound difference. And you know the sad part? I can't go back and change any of that. But I can take possession of today. Okay? I don't know what tomorrow's going to be, but I can take possession of today. And I can serve the Lord right where I am today. Okay? And accomplish the objective that God has in my life. Redeeming the time. Oh, but when we get our objective, when the opportunity comes, finally, we get to the last part that always comes. There is, say this with me, the opposition. Say this with me, the opposition. Okay? I promise you this. When you establish the fact of the objective in your life, that God be glorified. When you are given the opportunity and God opens those doors, you better gird up your loins. Because the opposition's coming. And with great opportunity, you can bet Satan's going to stand firm against you. Because we do have an enemy. Let me share with you Paul's ministry there. In 3 months, he preached in the synagogue for 3 months. And because of opposition, he had to get out. Then Paul ended up teaching in that school of Tyrannus. Did that for 2 years. And at the latter part of those 2 years, this evil guy, a silversmith named Demetrius, rose up. Paul was having such success in Ephesus. People were being converted and they were casting aside these idol gods, most specifically the goddess Diana. And this silversmith, he became angry because he noticed that the more people Paul won to Christ, the less people were buying the statues that he was making. And so guess what? He was losing money. Now listen, here's the fact. People really don't care what you believe. You want to make them mad, you mess with their money. Right? Demetrius isn't making a good living anymore, so he's getting... And he stirs up a literal riot in Ephesus. And things are falling apart. And ultimately, Paul winds up having to leave Ephesus because of this riot. And the door was closed. Because of this one ornery silversmith. You see, I want to remind you today, do not expect it to be easy serving the Lord. Oh, Christianity is popular as long as you remain in the box. You know? And society today, the box is that we keep it inside this building, but don't take it out to the schools. Don't take it out into the community. Don't make public displays of Christ. And, you know, keep it in here. Y'all do what you want to in this building, but you're not supposed to do it out there. That is wrong. Okay? We want our influence out there. I mean, it's wonderful to come here and worship, share the Word of God, sing, praise, and preach. All that's wonderful. But we're not making a difference until we get out there. And when we get out there, people are going to stand and oppose us. But that's okay. That's okay. I've been pastoring for over 20 years now. I'm kind of used to that. Somewhere along the way, there's going to be opposition. It's going to be difficult. But when it gets difficult, don't quit. Okay? Don't quit. You often hear people say, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Well, guess what? Wake up and smell the coffee, as the old saying goes. Jesus was crucified. The apostles were killed. There's a price to be paid. When you get tired, I've heard people say, oh, Brother Doug, I'm just so tired. Hey, take a couple weeks off. But don't quit. Take a couple weeks off. Recharge your batteries. But don't quit. Some people, you know, say, Brother Doug, it just scares me. Well, you need to get over that scares me. Okay? A paralyzing fear does not come from God. Don't use that as an excuse. Realize that it is the opposition of the enemy that's giving you the fear. And certainly don't say, well, Brother Doug, I got my feelings hurt. I love that one. I got my feelings hurt. They're not following me. They're not listening to what I'm saying. Do you know, Brother Doug, what they said? Let me give you some scriptural advice. When people hurt your feelings, when you think they're not doing like they're supposed to do, when what you're doing doesn't seem to be working, put on your big boy britches and get with it. Okay? Don't be a sissy in the service of the Lord. Don't just quit, lie down. Oh, they were against me. Well, guess what? We have an official enemy. His name is Satan. His name means adversary. He's a bad guy. He's sneaky. He doesn't play fair. Understand, when God puts great opportunity in your life, there's going to be great opposition. And great opposition requires a great faith. There has to be substance to your faith. I mean, people talk about faith all the time and talk about loving God all the time. And I always find it interesting, you know, on Facebook you'll see things being posted about how good God is and all that. And I'm not saying don't do that by any means. Do it. Do it more. Okay? But I can't help but wonder oftentimes how truly are the people in the trenches fighting the battle of the faith? And how many are just giving lip service? I wonder how many have literally taken on the whole armor of God and marched into battle, standing for the truth of God's Word in this evil day in which we live. I wonder how many have spent time in the Word of God girding their waist with the truth. I wonder how many have actually put on the breastplate of righteousness, refusing to compromise, refusing to bow down to pressure. I wonder how many have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and who are just looking for that individual who'll give them a few minutes that they can share Jesus with. I wonder how many have truly taken the shield of faith and stood firm against the fiery attacks of Satan. I wonder how many have had substance to their faith and said, if this is the cost, I'll gladly pay it because Jesus gave His all for me. Amen. Talk about the whole armor of God. Oh, get ready, folks. It's a battle. Get ready, college students. It's a battle. High school students, it's a battle. Adults, it's a battle. But you have to remember your objective. And that's to fulfill God's call on your life. I like the way that Paul closed out this book. After he goes through this in verse 13 of the same chapter, he says, watch. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. What you see there is instruction for commitment. Watch. Be aware. Be on guard. What do you mean? Here's what we mean. Satan doesn't play fair. He doesn't have a rule book. He's sneaky. He's conniving. And your destruction is his desire. Watch. Be on guard. Don't let him tear you up. Don't let him tear you down. Stand fast in the faith. Dig in. Don't be moved. Refuse to be moved. And I'm not talking about being contrary. I'm talking about taking a stand and saying, Satan, this is who I am. This is what I am. And I refuse to be moved. Be brave. New King James says, be brave. I actually like the old King James translation a little better. It says, quit ye like men. Literally, the word meant, be a man. I like being a man. How about you? Okay, and I realize that's a little chauvinistic, and I don't mean offense to anyone. But listen, there's something about being able to say, that's right, I'm a man. Bow them shoulders up. That's right. I'll take my stand right here. You know, there's something about that. Now, don't get me wrong. I know I'm a 98-pound weakling, okay? Okay, I'm a 200-pound weakling. But that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, be a man. Be a man. Stand up. Fight the battle. Get in there. Don't lay down and quit. Be strong. You know, the idea behind be strong is, have you ever noticed the more you sit around and do nothing, the weaker you become? I'm talking physical exercise, but you get out and you work out, and the more you work out, the stronger you become. The more you sit in the recliner, the weaker you become. It's just a fact. Have you ever got up and worked out, or maybe went and worked real hard, and after you finished, you just felt better because you got up and you got with it, you know? Quit sitting around. Have you ever felt that way? I have. Guess what? there is spiritual exercise. And if you never do anything spiritually, you're going to be that big lazy boy couch cushion type individual that's going to accomplish very little. Why? Because you never get up and get with it. But you know what I figured out? I have come to the conclusion that every battle in life, every exercise that requires my faith, with every one of those battles, when I come out the other side, I'm a little stronger than I was. I'm a little tougher than I was. I'm a little better than I was. You want to be strong? Get off the couch spiritually. Take your spiritual stand. Exercise those spiritual muscles. And even when it looks grim and looks like, I don't know where this thing's going, Lord, and we all get there at some point or another. Lord, I don't know what's going on around me. I don't understand. I don't get it, Lord, but I trust in You. And sometimes that's all you've got. But I want to tell you something, that's enough. Because you know that God loves you. God loves you. If He didn't, He would not have given His Son to die for you. Oh, listen. If you want to say, God, prove it, He did. With Jesus. What are your plans for the future? What are you going to do? Make your plans? Well, maybe instead of making your plans, you better make your objective. And then you better get ready to walk through the doors that God opens. Because doors will open. Okay? Doors will open. I've been told two things in this world. There's only two things you can count on in the future. You know what those? You know what that is? Death and what? Taxes. I knew y'all get the taxes. There's something else that you can count on in the future. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life so that you could have eternity in heaven with Him. He died because the wages of sin is death. He died to take your punishment upon Himself so that you could live forever. Are you a child of God? I want to tell you something that just kind of picks me up all the time. Sometimes when I get kind of downhearted and looks like the battles are getting overwhelming, I'm reminded, I've read the back of the book and we win. Amen. Jesus Christ has prepared a place eternal for me in the heavens that'll never, never fade away. And it's not because of what I did. It's because of what Jesus did. And He issued to me an invitation. And one evening at a revival service in Griffithville, Arkansas, I got down on my knees and I prayed a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, save me. And I got down on my knees. I was bawling like a baby. But when I got up, I was on top of the world because I knew that Jesus had taken residence on the inside of me. Now, we know there's a future. And in that future is eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell? It's your choice. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, now, Brother Doug, I just don't think if God's a loving God, He could never send anyone to hell. Oh, listen. He died to keep people out of hell. If you spend eternity in hell, it's because you reject the plan of salvation. That's you. Don't try to pin that on God. He's done all He can do so that you can live forever. That's kind of like me walking up to somebody and slapping them in the side of the head and saying it was their fault because they shouldn't have been standing there. Really? Don't try to blame God for your refusal to accept the greatest sacrifice ever given.
Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, my friend, we're going to have an invitation, and I'm going to beg you. I beg you. Will you come forward and let me show you in the Word of God? Maybe you're just too nervous. You don't want to walk forward in front of everybody. That's fine, okay? You can bow your head right where you are right now, knowing that, number one, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the only way to heaven. And you call upon Him for salvation. You pray something like this, you know, Lord, save me. Amen. And He'll do it. Because He's promised, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, I'm not telling, you know, when I say pray a prayer like this, it's not a repeat after me. I do want you to understand you're committing your life to Jesus Christ. Okay? That is a personal commitment that you are making and only you can make. Oh, but I beg you. I beg you, will you come to Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you've been fighting the battles. You've been fighting the battles, it's getting tough. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray for strength. The altar's open to you. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, to get off the couch and get involved. I'd invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, we know that God is here right now. Okay? God is here. We have the promise of His Word. Where two or three are gathered together, He's in the midst. God's here. What are you going to do with Him? That's the question. What do you do with Him now? Our Father in heaven, thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for the death of Your Son, Jesus, who was given on our behalf. And thank You, Lord, for Your promise that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I pray for those that are in this service today who have never made that commitment. Oh Lord, we love them and we care about them. And we want them to come to a saving knowledge of You. Lord, I pray for those who are fighting today, fighting the battle. And sometimes the battle is tough. Sometimes it's bloody. Sometimes it's painful. Oh, but Lord, we know that You've equipped us with all that we need. And we know, Lord, that You'll not give us more than we can bear. So Lord, help us to take up Your whole armor and take our stand on the side of God and right. I pray now, Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name.